This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning. I'm Shirai Kutin. With me, Tan Cheng Han and Joyce Goh, the top business stories of the day. And we'll look at our local stock market. After a slow first half of the year, it looks like local markets might expect a healthier pipeline of IPOs next year, according to investment bankers cited in the Edge Financial Daily. After the slowdown due to issuers waiting for completion of G14, there are a number of IPOs in the works that could raise well over R1 billion each on the back of pent-up issuances, including previously delayed IPOs.
Yeah, and so far this year in Malaysia, we've seen mostly small-cap listings. This is similar to regional peers like Singapore and Thailand. And, you know, looking at this, the trend now, I think, is for small-cap companies to dominate local listings. This is what EY is expecting to extend till year-end.
I mean, given what we have seen so far this year, we have had 6 listings on the LEAP market, we've had 6 listings on the ACE market, and just 1 on the main market. Even then, you know, MI Equipment, I mean, no offense to them, not exactly the big sexy name that you really want, right? So, you know, there are some other names that are being mentioned when it comes to these big IPOs, and big relative to the Malaysian market lah. That being Etika or some of these insurance guys, you know, we'll have to wait and see, you know, if they will actually go ahead with their listing before 2018 is over or next year. But in terms of, say, the overall options that we have available for the domestic equity space, we are making a comeback of sorts. Now, if you go back to 2009, we had 960 listed companies here in Malaysia. It fell to 903 in 2015. This year so far, we've got 909. So clawing our way back up, but not quite at the 960 that we had in 2009.
Yeah, if you look at the value of listing, if we minus the LEAP market, Malaysia saw 6 IPOs in first half 2018. And the 6 companies collectively raised about R360 million. Compare that to regionally, Thailand saw 6 listings, Singapore saw 7 during the same period, and they raised about $400 million each. This is according to EY. So in terms of value, I guess we still some ways to go.
Yeah, maybe, you know, and now looking at the, say, the FVM KLCI year to date, it's declined by about 2.35%. That's FVM KLCI. Small caps declining by 14.6% so far this year. Is this bottom yet? Many people have been asking. Or, you know, could local equities see another leg downwards, you know, before you know, the valuations really start kicking in and retail investors and institutional investors start snapping up at those value options or value stocks?
Han, you know, another big IPO that people are talking about potentially is QSR.
Chicken!
That's, yeah, operator of KFC and Pizza Hut. That's the operator of that. So, you know, Jacob, its president and chief executive, Dato' Kamaruzaman Abu Qasim, was quoted in the news reports as saying that the listing of QSR was estimated to raise about R2 billion in proceeds. But no news yet on as to when and whether or not they're going ahead.
Yeah, you know, no news on them. Also, no news on the insurance players. You know, I mentioned earlier Etika, you know, some of these foreign held insurance players here in Malaysia, you know, because under the previous Bank Negara administration, the idea was to have at least 30% open to domestic shareholders. One way is through an IPO. But now that we've got a new Bank Negara governor, perhaps that plan might be shelved, or at least we haven't heard
any
peep on
that.
It. Yeah.
Okay, so the larger context of this, of course, is the, you know, what's happened with the emerging markets over the last couple of weeks with the massive outflow of funds. Now, according to analysts and some market observers, foreign outflows in the local equities market remain contained and seem to be gradually dissipating. MIDF Amana Investment Bank said that they expect foreign outflows to remain measured going forward.
Yeah, and look, also given what's happening on the global stage right now with China and Europe being accused by President Donald Trump as currency manipulators or manipulating the interest rates lower, this could you know, have an implication on emerging market assets, including the ringgit, right? So, and also Malaysian equities as well. Could we see more of a sell-off, you know, from local assets, given what's happening on a global stage? We'll have to wait and see. Well, you know, FVM KLCI will open in just a few minutes from now. But looking at the ringgit right now, it's strengthening against the dollar. This coming on the back of Trump's mulling thinks that, you know, well, he's not happy that the US dollar is so strong right now. It erodes their competitiveness on the global stage. Ringgit now back below 4.05 against the greenback, 4.047 to be exact. That's gaining 0.4% against the dollar.
Okay, same theme of IPOs. Air Asia X will pursue initial public offering of its Thai arm soon. It says it's undefined soon. Thai Air Asia is a joint venture involving Air Asia and Thailand's Asia Aviation, that is.
Yeah, and Tan Sri Tony Fernandez said that Air Asia X would focus on countries where it would dominate. This is, he quotes, I think, Japan, South Korea, Australia, China, and India, and remove routes where there's no growth in frequency or country. But he didn't specify which route.
Yeah, you know, growth and unlocking of value. Look, they have just restructured the Air Asia group. They are listed under a new ticker now. They are mulling the IPOs for not just Thai Air Asia X, like you mentioned, Sharad, but also their units in the Philippines and India. Earlier in this year, March of this year, I believe, Tony Fernandez tweeted that he's super bullish on the outlook for the listings there. Looks like from March onwards, there has been some slippage. Looks like the IPO for its Philippines unit could be pushed back to next year, possibly. But the intent is definitely there, trying to list all these different units. But looking at its core business as well, Joyce, you know, looks like they are also on an expansionary path as well, given their huge plane order recently.
Yeah, last week, AirAsia X ordered about 100 A330neos from Airbus. This is in a deal worth about 122 billion ringgit. And that's about what? 1.2 billion ringgit per unit. And I think initial deliveries is that they're expecting that to begin next year.
And don't expect any of them to have the BN flag on them. Or livery anytime soon. Yeah, so fundamentals, you know, looks like they are growing with that 100 planes new order and also looking to tap the capital markets as well.
Okay, consumer sentiment in Malaysia has turned positive for the first time in 4 years amid changes in the country's political landscape and zero rating of GST.
Yeah, so look, the this is according to the Malaysian Institute of or MIER. So consumer sentiment has reached its highest in 21 years.
21 years?
Yeah,
wow.
21 years. Mm. How old were you 21 years ago? And that's for consumer sentiment. Business sentiment, that is at its highest in, I believe, 6 years, I believe.
I think there's also expectations of hirings and income that's expected to improve. I think 39% all-time high are hopeful for income, and 14-year low of 6% responded negatively.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, now, so the question here is that with this kind of, buoyed confidence levels, how much of this will actually translate into the real economy? We'll hopefully get a better indicator come August 16th, because on August 16th, Bank Negara will release the second quarter GDP figures for Malaysia.
Yeah, some analysts are saying that, you know, with all this improved sentiment now, we're not sure how that's going to be impacted when SSD comes on board in September. So we'll have to wait and see for that.
Right, you know, but then ultimately, how does it feed into not just the real economy, but also, you know, perhaps some of these listings that we spoke about
That's
earlier
right,
as well.
Yeah.
If they're more confident, then it might just jump right in and be more risk on, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. What about the retail space? I mean, what kind of response could we have there? There's talk that Harvey Norman, for instance, is in expansionary mode.
Yeah, they currently have about 16 outlets nationwide. They're looking to open more than 40 new stores over the next 5 to 10 years. 40 new stores. That's quite a lot.
Yeah, I guess that's quite a lot. But it looks like it's riding on a trend across Asia as well. You know, you've got a growing middle class segment, not just here in Malaysia, but around the region as well. So they're trying to focus on capital cities, major towns, Johor, Penang, Melaka, Ipoh, and maybe even East Malaysia as well. So, yeah.
Do you think there's something about the products they sell that makes it important to have a storefront in the age where a lot of stuff is being sold online? Why have the brick and mortar when you could just sell online? I mean, because if you go to Harvey Norman to buy a bed, I guess you really do want to sit on it or lie on it before you just make a decision, right?
Right.
Because a photograph just not good enough.
Yeah. The same thing with IKEA as well, right? How many times have you walked through IKEA and you see people just like, you know, jumping on the bed?
Oh, because, no, I like
they've gone online though.
Well, yeah, but you still need the brick and mortar store. You need still need the physical.
It's a bit of a theme park, that one.
Okay. Apparently, online businesses only account for less than 10% of sales for Harvey Norman. So most of them go on to the shop.
Still, okay, we're coming to the top of the hour. We'll be back with the opening numbers and stock market. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.